We read from the Holy Scriptures this morning, from the prophecy of Jeremiah. We read a portion of chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, we'll read the first 22 verses of this chapter. Passage which speaks of the dark days of God's people. Warnings of God's judgment upon unfaithful pastors who have led God's sheep astray, failed to care for the flock. But in the midst of this, we have words of comfort in our text, found in verses 5 and 6, the promise of the righteous branch that will be raised up, whose name is the Lord, our righteousness. We hear the word of God in the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 23. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up, and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord, and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane, yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain, they speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Thus far, we read from God's infallibly inspired word. As I said, our text this morning is found in verses 5 and 6 of this passage, Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6, where we read, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness." Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we see our Savior's birth as the work of God for the salvation of his people. As I said, our text is found in a very dark setting, which in many respects reminds us of our own times. The church in general was in a very sorry state. The context speaks of the fact that evil shepherds have scattered the flock of Israel. And those evil shepherds were the ungodly prophets and priests and kings of that day. They scattered the flock of God instead of gathering. They drove away the flock instead of leading and guiding God's sheep. They did not visit them or protect them or care for them. But the Lord promises his people, the remnant according to the election of grace, that better days are coming. For the Lord will punish the wicked shepherds. He will take vengeance upon them for their evil doings. He will bless and gather his people. He will bring them again into the fold. He shall cause them to be faithful and to increase. How would this come to pass? How shall all of this be accomplished? The answer to the question is found in the words of our text. The Lord shall raise up a righteous branch unto David. His name shall be called Jehovah, our righteousness. This righteous branch shall justify. He shall reign. He shall prosper. As a result, God's people shall be saved and shall dwell safely. Beloved, this is our comfort always, but also in these days of this Advent season. God raised up the branch, the righteous branch, in the fullness of time, in Bethlehem. Understand at the outset, beloved, that this branch is Jehovah in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. He is called the Lord, our righteousness. This is our assurance. Also, as we come this morning unto the table of our Lord. This is what the Apostle John was given to see in the book of Revelation. A great multitude of happy souls arrayed in long white clothes before the throne of God. And the answer to the question in his soul is clear. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Are you clothed in those robes of righteousness? It's in this light that we consider our text under the theme, the coming of the righteous branch. We notice, first of all, his name. Secondly, his origin. and finally, his reign. Notice the name whereby this righteous branch shall be called Jehovah, our righteousness. That name, according to the biblical idea of a name, is the expression of who and what he is. This branch or king is Jehovah, our righteousness. There's a question as to how this name should be understood. Must the second part of this name be understood as standing in opposition to the first part, so that the name of this branch then means that he is Jehovah, namely, our righteousness? Then you understand this name would imply that the branch of whom the text speaks is very God himself. He is Jehovah. On the other hand, must this name be understood in the sense of an abbreviated sentence? Something very well possible as far as the language of the text is concerned. And in that case, we would read it this way: and this is his name whereby he shall be called. Jehovah is our righteousness. And then this name means that the righteous branch whom God will raise unto David is the manifestation, the revelation of the truth that Jehovah is our righteousness. Undoubtedly, we would choose particularly the second explanation. The name of this branch is Jehovah, is our righteousness. This righteous branch and king of whom our text speaks is the manifestation of this marvelous truth. And we base that explanation, in, first of all, upon the fact that this is the evident meaning of similar expressions in Scripture. For example, you have the statement, Jehovah, our banner, meaning Jehovah is our banner. So here, this name means Jehovah is our righteousness. And in addition, this interpretation is necessary, especially in light of the fact that in Jeremiah chapter 33, the very same name is applied to Jerusalem. In verse 16 of Jeremiah 33, we read, "In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she," that is Jerusalem, "shall be called the Lord our righteousness." It's very evident that in the case of Jerusalem, the name could hardly have that first sense that we mentioned. That is, it could not mean that Jerusalem is Jehovah. Rather, it means that saved Jerusalem is the manifestation of the truth that Jehovah is the righteousness of his people. And if that's the meaning of the name in that passage, it must also be the meaning here in our text. But in addition, we hasten to add that in the case of our text, the first meaning is certainly implied, and it really forms the basis of the second. We must remember that this is a clear prophecy of the Messiah, the branch of whom our text speaks. The king is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, and he, the Messiah, the anointed one, is the revelation that Jehovah is our righteousness, exactly because he is himself, personally, Jehovah in the flesh. For his name is Jesus, that is, Jehovah, salvation. He is God with us, our covenant God in the flesh. So that name speaks of righteousness, of our righteousness. Very simply, righteousness his perfect agreement and harmony with the will of God as it is revealed in his good commandments. It is the harmony not only of our walk and life with that will of God, but the perfect agreement of our very nature with God's holy will. Righteousness means that with heart and mind and will and strength, we are in perfect conformity with the standard of God's holy law, in perfect harmony with God's "Thou shalt love me with all thy heart and mind and soul and strength." That righteousness may be distinguished as to its legal aspect, and the Word of God would have us rejoice in imputed righteousness, our justification in Christ, according to which our legal status is that of guiltlessness and perfect innocence before the bar of God's justice and according to his own divine sentence. But also that same righteousness can be distinguished as to its spiritual and ethical aspect. And Scripture teaches us to think of our sanctification, according to which righteousness is infused into us so that we actually, as to our nature and walk with heart and mind and soul and strength, are in harmony with God's will, so that our delight is in his commandments and we want to know and do his will. Righteousness. Let us not forget, righteousness is all important. Righteousness is the ground of all blessings. It is that just because God himself is the righteous and holy one who has no delight in unrighteousness. He is the God whose favor is upon the righteous and whose face is against them that do evil. Righteousness, therefore, is the key to all the blessings of God. And here, precisely here, is the beauty and the marvel of this name. Jehovah is our righteousness. Our righteousness is Jehovah. He is the source of it. He is the author of it. He establishes that righteousness. He bestows it. Jehovah, such is the implication of this name, provides this righteousness for us. And he does that in the full sense of the word. What are we? We are guilty. In and of ourselves, guilty, laden with an impossible burden of guilt, worthy only of condemnation and death. But he forgives, makes us worthy of everlasting life. Jehovah is our righteousness. We are corrupt, defiled, depraved, dead in trespasses and sins. He delivers from all the power and dominion of sin, makes us holy. Jehovah is our righteousness. And all of this, Christ, the King, the branch raised unto David, is the manifestation. He is that not only in his word, but in his work. He is this in his incarnation in the fullness of time. He is this in his suffering and death upon the cross. He is this in his resurrection and exaltation at the right hand of God, in his becoming the quickening spirit. Christ, the Christ of God, the Christ of the Scriptures, the Christ in all of his saving significance is the manifestation and revelation that Jehovah is our righteousness. For that Christ is altogether of Jehovah, for he is Jehovah, the Word made flesh, Jesus, Jehovah salvation. Notice what our text says in this connection. And this is the name whereby he shall be called Jehovah our righteousness. That means that we call him that. There is a confession here, beloved. God's people who have learned to know him by blessed experience, to acknowledge him, to believe on him, call him by this name. They do not merely mutter these words as a doctrinal statement. Jehovah is the righteousness of his people, but Jehovah is our righteousness. Yea, it is only by faith, by God-given faith, a faith which is bestowed upon them by this same righteous branch that they make this confession. It is not by works, it is not by our own accomplishment, for this is exactly the nature of faith, that it confesses that righteousness, our righteousness, is not of us, but that Jehovah is our righteousness. It is all of him and of him alone. In him is our trust. Of him is our boast. Is that your confession? It's in that confidence that we can partake properly of the table of the Lord. For notice that our text emphasizes very plainly that this branch, who is the manifestation that Jehovah is our righteousness, is the work of God. We read, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch and a king." In our text, Christ is described as a branch, more literally, a shoot or a sprout of David, a name that is given him more often in Scripture. You have it, for example, in Isaiah 11, verse 1. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." And we have it in the familiar language of Isaiah 53, verse 2, where he is described as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. And you have especially two ideas expressed in this name. First of all, there is the organic idea. For a branch is organically connected with and is out of the tree in which it grows. And so our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his human nature, is organically connected with his people. His human nature is our human nature, sin accepted. As far as his human nature is concerned, Christ is, with the exception of our sin, in every respect like unto us. He is one of us. He is of the seed of the woman. He is out of us. He is a branch out of the tree of that covenant line. He is out of David and Judah and Israel, Abraham and Shem, Noah, Seth, Adam, the line of the seed of the woman. And yet, in addition, this righteous branch, who is one with us, who must necessarily be one with us in order to be our righteousness, could never be brought forth by us. This too is expressed by this beautiful figure. For notice that the figure is not that of a grand and flourishing tree, and of a branch among many other branches in that tree. No, it's rather that of a tree that has been chopped down to the roots. There's only a stump left. It is that of a tree which, to all intents and purposes, is gone, destroyed. And thus it was with the covenant tree of David. It had well nigh died out. And out of its root, as a root in a dry ground, from that lonely, forgotten virgin Mary, a shoot, a sprout, a tender plant, springs forth the righteous branch. God raises him up unto David. It is through God's power, not man's, that this tender plant grows up. And that was necessary. It was necessary because this branch is the manifestation of Jehovah, very God himself, the Son of God. It was necessary too because he is a righteous branch. And such a righteous branch, the revelation of Jehovah, our righteousness, was just exactly impossible as far as David was concerned. He could never grow out of David's loins. He is necessarily the work of God. If God did not raise him up unto David, there would be no righteous branch. That's the idea of our text. It means that the Lord himself will so cause the tree of David to be fruitful that it will bring forth the righteous branch. And this God did. He did it all through the old dispensation by preparing this branch in the loins of David and of the holy seed, the line of the seed of the woman throughout the ages of the Old Testament against all the wiles and raging, the violence of the devil who sought to prevent the birth of the man-child, this righteous branch. But above all, God raised up this righteous branch in the fullness of time by the wonder of the incarnation. He caused that branch to be born from the Virgin Mary without the will of man through the conception by the Holy Spirit. Such is the wonder work of God of which our text prophesies and which we today look back and rejoice as fulfilled. In the old dispensation, his word was, I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Today that word has become, I have raised unto David a righteous branch. And this is his name, whereby he is called Jehovah, our righteousness. It is all of God, not at all of us. And behold, beloved, his blessed reign, the reign of this righteous branch. For our text says that he shall reign as king and shall prosper. And that word prosper here means that he shall act prudently, wisely. And thus, he will have success in his reign. Success especially to execute judgment and justice in the earth. He shall reign. He has authority and power to rule. He shall be endowed with the wisdom and knowledge that are required to rule. He shall actually reign in righteousness as the righteous branch, that is, according to the will of God, executing judgment and justice in the earth, blessing the righteous, destroying all the power of darkness. All this has been fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. He was anointed king over all from eternity. He was endowed with all the divine knowledge and wisdom. And he battled as king with all the powers of darkness, dealing wisely, steadfastly, refusing the kingdoms of this world and the honor and praise of men, preferring the way of righteousness and judgment and the justice of God, even though that way led him to that cruel way of the cross through the very depths of hell. And thus he succeeded and prospered. He was raised from the dead, exalted, glorified at the Father's right hand. He has received all power in heaven and upon earth. Even now, he reigns as King. He rules in our hearts by his grace. He reigns in the name of the Sovereign of heaven and earth over all his enemies by his power. Presently, he shall come again. He shall come again in order finally to execute judgment and justice in the earth and to destroy all his enemies forever and to glorify all his people. He shall reign forever in his eternal kingdom in the new heavens and the new earth. And beloved, the fruit of that reign is that Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. Judah and Israel here refer to the entire people of God, described in Old Testament terms. They are the 10 tribes of the kingdom of Israel, the 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, of the kingdom of Judah. So our text speaks of the people of God, the one people of God, which in the old dispensation was gathered in the main from the nation of Israel, and which in the new dispensation is gathered from all nations, both Jew and Gentile. And it says that they shall be saved, and that they shall dwell safely, saved from all the guilt of sin and all the power of death and corruption, saved from their enemies, saved unto eternal life and glory. And they shall dwell safely. That's beautiful. The text describes them as dwelling. And the picture is that they shall dwell in Father's house, in Father's kingdom, enjoying his fellowship, permanently abiding there without being in danger of destruction by any foe. In his days, this shall take place. Those days begin with his coming in the fullness of time, and especially with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which was the climax of that first coming. And those days extend unto and enter upon their completion and culmination with the second coming of our Lord, which is not far off. Those days extend unto everlasting ages. They are the endless days of the everlasting kingdom of our Lord. In them, God's people are saved. They dwell safely. Yea, we are saved. We dwell safely even now. For though the enemy may rage against us, we are perfectly safe. Jehovah is our righteous King. He alone. Presently, we shall be saved and dwell safely in perfection. We shall be glorified, body and soul. We will dwell in the everlasting tabernacle of God with men in perfect peace of that glorious kingdom. Then we shall acknowledge and speak that blessed name of our righteous branch and King perfectly. We shall call him Jehovah, our righteousness. We will do so to the glory of the God of our salvation. Yes, that reign began in that dirty cattle stall in Bethlehem, but it continues forever. For Jehovah, our righteousness, has given us salvation. This is the beautiful gospel of God's infinite love towards his people. We rejoice in a special way in this season that Jehovah, our righteousness, has come, and no one can take that from us. You and I dwell safely now. We dwell in the hand of Christ. And the time is coming when we shall dwell in God's everlasting tabernacle with him in perfect safety. That's our confession. When Jehovah is our righteousness, let us confess that, beloved. Blessed is the one to whom belongs this righteous branch. Blessed are you when you confess from the heart, Jehovah is our righteousness. Amen. Most merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, Jehovah is our righteousness. Therein we glory. That is all our boast, not in self, not in anything that we have done, but in thee. And in that confidence we rejoice, for we are filled with joy and gladness. And in that joy we also go unto thy holy supper in this morning hour. So bless and strengthen our hearts, we pray, asking this all with the remission of our many sins. In Jesus' name, amen.